Are there two people in your life who are at odds with each other? It's your job to help them reconcile. In today's passage, we'll see a crucial principle for doing that you may not have thought of before.
Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
What can we learn from this passage about how to help two parties who are in conflict? Anybody here, you need to know, how do I help? I have two people in my life that I love and they're at odds with each other and I'd like to be able to help reconcile. I could use some help. Let's look at first who this yoke fellow is so we'll know whose job it is to do this work, who needs to step in, and then we can look at what Paul says to him about how. Now, who is he? So let me just ask you this. When you're reading a letter and at one point in the letter all of a sudden it says, and I say this to you, who is it talking about? Whoever the letter is addressed to, right? Obviously. Well, that's what he's saying here. He's saying, and you, loyal yoke fellow. So who is that? Well, who is the letter addressed to? We know that right from the first verse in the book, Philippians 1:1. It's the church in Philippi, the congregation. Paul uses the word you 55 times in this letter, and every single time. All the other times, the other 54 times, there's no controversy at all about who it is, talking about the congregation. You. But this one's different than the other 54. The other 54 are all plural. This one's singular. And that's why people think, well, it's got to be some specific person. But I think the reason this one is singular, I think what's happening here is Paul's still talking to the congregation. He just wants to say it in a way that puts each individual person on the spot. And so I think what Paul's doing here is he's saying, look, any one of you who's here who would fit the description of a true yoke fellow with me, somebody that yoke fellow means yoked together with me, connected up with me in ministry, working with me. Anybody who would be a genuine fellow worker with the Apostle Paul, anyone who fits that description, it's your responsibility to step up and help these ladies. So Paul's saying, look, hey, you sitting there in the pews right now. Yeah, you. Right now, how would you like to be a co-worker with me? How would you like to be my colleague? If you're on the same team with me, then I'm asking you, step up, help these women. So whose job is it to bring peace in a fight? Whoever aspires to be a partner with the Apostle Paul. That's what this is saying. Or in the words of Jesus in Matthew 5:9, it's anybody who wants to behave like God. Because Matthew 5:9, remember the Beatitudes? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called what? Sons of God. So whose job is it to bring the two sides together? It's yours. It's yours. So how do you do that? Well, the starting place is to remember from last time, remember what it is we're trying to accomplish. If you think back to the last message, what's the objective? Again, it's not to get one party to give in. If one side, if you're trying to help bring reconciliation and one side finally says, all right, I give, you win, you will do it your way, I'll give up my side. That's not necessarily success. Paul doesn't tell the yoke fellow to help these women with their argument. He tells him to help these women with their attitude. Remember? That's the goal. That's the objective. The objective is to get both parties to have this humble, selfless, you first because I love you type of attitude that Christ had back in chapter 2. If you start working mainly for agreement rather than focusing mainly on attitude, you're not going to be a very good mediator. If you're just shooting to get them to have the same opinions rather than have this Philippians 2 attitude, you're not going to succeed. We're going for attitude. Well, let's not go over all over the whole Bible. What this passage teaches is basically just one principle. One principle about how to bring two feuding parties together. And you can see what that principle is just by reading the rest of verse 3. Now, the command in verse 3 is very simple. Help the women. But the sentence doesn't end there. He says, help these women, but he doesn't end there. Look at all the rest of these words that come after the word help in verse 3. Why is all that there? What's the point of all this verbiage? And by the way, this is one of the most important things you can ever learn about how to interpret the Bible, how to study the Bible. Ask questions like this. Ask, why is that part there? If you can't answer that, you know, why didn't he just leave that out? How does that add to what he's saying? If you can't answer that question, then you don't understand the passage yet. You don't know what he was trying to communicate yet. So I'm studying this and I'm saying, why doesn't he just end after he says, help these women? Why does he have to say all this other stuff? Look what he says. He says, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. What is the point of all that? All he's doing there is just talking these two women up, right? He's just saying nice things about it. He's giving their credentials. He says, first they've contended. That word means fought. At my side. So these women are warriors. Paul is vouching for both these women. Okay? They've contended at my side, he says, in the cause of the gospel. That's the highest cause there is. There is no higher calling than gospel work. It's more important than the work of the President of the United States. It's more beneficial to humanity than a scientist that developed a vaccine for a worldwide plague. It's more noble than a firefighter running into a burning building to save a baby. There's nothing that people do on planet Earth is more important than the work of the gospel. Nothing benefits the humanity more than the work of the gospel. And both these women were gospel soldiers. And then he goes on. He says, they're gospel soldiers. And he says, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So the book of life is a list of all the people that God considers righteous. You see that definition in Psalm 69:28. All the people that are going to heaven, all the righteous. Now that is a poignant way to describe believers, isn't it? He could have just said, remember, these women are Christians. They're saved. But instead, he says, their names are written in the book of life. Think about these two people's names have been penned in heaven. What is the point of all that? And I just summarize it. I think basically what he's saying is, these two women are wonderful people. Now, back to our question. What's the purpose of that? Why is he saying this? If these two women are the problem, they're threatening the unity of the church. Why does Paul spend all his time telling the yoke fellow how wonderful they are? He doesn't say anything negative about that. He talks them up. What's the point of that? What this teaches us is if you're going to be Paul's partner, if you're going to be his colleague, if you're going to step up and help bring about resolution in a conflict, it's critical that you have a high opinion of both parties. See that? That's what he's trying to accomplish here. He's trying to get the yoke fellow to have a high opinion of both Euodia and Syntyche. This is important because when people get into a fight, they get into some kind of conflict, very often they'll start behaving in irrational, selfish, or petty ways, don't they? Don't we? That's what we do. We just get real petty when we start to get into a conflict. And when that happens, when people are being petty and they're just being a problem, the temptation is for you as a third party to come in and look down on them. In the name of protecting the church, suddenly you feel like you have the license to be harsh. We think that we have a license to think the worst about the people causing the problem and talk negatively about these people and to withhold love towards them and gossip about them, all in the name of protecting the church, right? And restoring unity, standing up for truth. And what Paul's showing us here is that, yes, these women are hurting the church, and yes, they do need to be corrected, but the one who corrects them had better keep in mind these women are servants of the living God. Help them, but when you help them, don't you dare look down on them. Be very, very careful how you deal with someone whose name was written down in heaven.
If you have people in your life who are at odds with each other, that can be draining. But give some thought to the Lord's love for them to help you increase your love for them. It's only when you have a high view of both of them that you'll be effective in helping.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of Philippians, 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.